Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Today we continue our discussion of discerning God's personal will for our lives. Now, one thing I want to start off with today, you are made in the image of God. And part of being in that image means you can make decisions. Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Some of the things that people think about the most, like what kind of job am I going to get or who should I marry? What's interesting is the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 gave people permission to just marry whoever they wanted. Now, he gave guidelines. He gave perimeters. He said the person must belong to the Lord. The person must be a fellow Christian. If you were already married before you became a Christian and your spouse is not a Christian, well, of course, remain married to them. If they leave you, you're free. Nevertheless, he left some parameters but still gave them permission, and similar with work. He said, let a person remain in the area of work to which he was already involved. But there are exceptions. You can go back to the Old Testament, and there was a servant from Abraham that went out to find a wife for his son Isaac, and the person prayed about it, and God gave him a sign and showed him that Rebekah was the one he had chosen. So there are exceptions to the rules, but as a general rule, we're called to make wise decisions, and once again, a lot of God's will is already in the Bible. We went through that before. Having said that, there are times God gives us personal guidance. In what ways does God communicate today? Well, he can communicate through dreams. Not long ago, I did a 3-part series on dreams. He can communicate through visions. He can still send prophets. He can still speak with an audible voice. Now, there are some people that claim God doesn't do that anymore, that he did that only before the Bible was written. It is true that all doctrinal revelation is closed. I've made this point before in previous radio shows. If somebody hears an audible voice or gets a dream or vision claiming that there's 4 people in the Trinity rather than 3, that kind of thing, if somebody gets a vision claiming that Jesus is not the only way to God or something that contradicts the gospel, they are not to pay attention to it. Even if it's supernatural, the supernatural could be from a deceptive source. It could be from God's enemy, Satan. So all doctrinal revelation is closed, but revelation about you and decisions you might make in your life in those times when God does want to nudge you along, yes, he can still use dreams, visions, prophets, audible voices. However, his primary means of communication today is through his Holy Spirit. We read a lot about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, and it's pretty fantastic because the third person of the Trinity, the God of the universe, is running his thoughts through our mind. Now, I know we want all those special effects and it sounds much more exciting to hear a voice from the sky, but think about it. Isn't it much more significant, much more personal, much more intimate to have the Holy Spirit's thoughts go through our minds? Unfortunately, being creatures of habit, we get used to that. When I first met the Holy Spirit, it was incredible. There was this new voice inside of me and my thoughts were constantly changing and they were new thoughts, different thoughts, certainly better thoughts. But like everything in life, we get used to it. I remember when I was a little kid, whenever I'd have a new year of school, I'd go back in the fall, new teacher, new classmates, new locations. I'm thinking, boy, I'm never going to get used to this. Everything's so vibrant and fresh and new and different. Within 1 week, I'm used to it. Unfortunately, we can get used to God too. So we sometimes forget and ignore that subtle voice living inside of us. But the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with our conscience. The Bible speaks a lot about the conscience, that inward awareness of right and wrong. Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, the Apostle Paul talking, all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. There's a lot more to this scripture than meets the eye, a lot more than we have time to get into today, because it does seem to be revealing the secret of how God will judge on Judgment Day even people who never had the Bible. When they talk about the law, they mean the law of Moses. In a sense, this is Paul's way of saying, even if you've never read the Bible, you know right and wrong because God gave you a conscience. I did a whole 3-part series. I know I'm always telling you about other series I do, but to not repeat myself, there is a 3-part series on how God will judge the people who never heard. You can check that out on cgmradio.com/Bob. But I mentioned a few moments ago that the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the conscience. I'm reading now from John chapter 16, starting with verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I used to always think, wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been one of those original 12 disciples following Jesus around for 3 years? Well, Jesus himself is saying it's better to have the Holy Spirit inside, because once again, that's God merging his thoughts with our thoughts. But notice what the Holy Spirit, he calls him the Comforter here. He's identified later in that chapter as the Holy Spirit. Notice the description of exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing, rebuking and reproving us of sin, righteousness, judgment, very similar to the conscience. Now, is your conscience and the Holy Spirit the same thing? No. You already had a conscience before you even received the Holy Spirit. Think of the conscience as a radar of sorts. Think of the Holy Spirit as what that radar hones in on. And so, that's one of the first ways we go to look to see God's direction. We check our conscience. We check our inner witness. Sometimes we get a sense about something being right or wrong. Sometimes we get a sense about calling or direction. We start with that. And then the next one is counsel. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. Also in Proverbs 15:22, it says we should have a multitude of counsel. Now let me clarify what they meant and what they didn't mean. It didn't mean you just keep listening to counselors and what the high majority says is right. In the Bible and throughout history, the high majority were often wrong. Sometimes 300 false prophets were telling the king to go to battle, and one prophet of God was telling him not to. No, the reason we go to different counselors is we've already gotten this inner witness from the Holy Spirit through our conscience telling us to do something. And when we hear something that matches from the outside, the inward impression we're already getting in the inside, well, it's like journalism, or like journalism once was, I should say. If you have more than one source, you print the story. So these are the first two, conscience, counsel. The third is circumstances. Acts 16, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. It doesn't say what happened, but something circumstantial. Maybe somebody got sick. Maybe they couldn't get enough horses. Who knows? But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Notice, circumstantially, Paul was prevented from going where he had chosen to go. Now, once again, I told you, as a general rule, God allows us to just make choices. Paul, overall, knew he was commanded to be a missionary and to preach the gospel everywhere. But in this particular case, God closed one door and then opened up another one. And this time it happened through a vision. Come to Macedonia, help us. And then the fourth, once again, is the Bible. We must make sure that our direction is not contradicting the Bible. I want to share a story out of my life, and this goes all the way back to when I was in college. This is going back to the 1970s. This is before I had a credit card. This was when several hundred dollars was like several thousand dollars. I mentioned that I was attending a community college, but not living at home anymore because I was a Christian, sharing a house with some roommates. In the backyard of that house, I was walking and praying, and right in the midst of my prayers, I got this feeling that God was calling me to ministry, because I suddenly realized that my desires had changed. My heart had changed, and it occurred to me that that could be going on through that inner witness, through the Holy Spirit. And I said, God, could you possibly be calling me to ministry? Well, the next day, a man named Bob Berger, he was a man in his 40s who was discipling me, meeting with me once a week. week, he told me, without any knowledge of the prayer time I had the day before, mind you, he told me that he believed I was called to ministry. I had that inner witness, the Holy Spirit, conscience, and then the next day, counsel. Somebody tells me, and I'm hearing externally what I thought I was hearing internally. It was a match. And yet, circumstances verified it. In order to get hired for the ministry that Bob Berger was working for, it was called Campus Ambassadors. It was a national campus ministry. The way they would recruit people is you would go out to Denver, where they were holding their annual institute. They would interview you, and then if they decided to hire you, you would stay and participate in that two-week institute and get some of their training, which meant you had to be prepared to pay for that two-week institute, paying for the food and the lodging, the materials. You had to be prepared to pay for something, and you weren't even sure you were going to get the job yet. And you had to have money for the expenses to go out there. I didn't have the money. Now, my friend Bob Berger told me quite some time later that he was planning to pay my way if he needed to, but he wanted to just wait and see what God might do, because he thought God verifying the circumstances would be a much more marvelous memory for me. Well, I had just graduated San Jose State. This conversation I had with Bob Berger at the community college about going into the ministry and then finally graduating San Jose State and going into the ministry, obviously several years have passed. My in-laws threw me a surprise graduation party, and at the graduation party, people had chipped in a lot of money, and there was $900. The expenses to drive out to Denver and attend their institute came to $600. As I said, that was a lot more money in those days, and I didn't have a credit card. So it was significant that I got $900, but I started thinking, well, that's interesting. God gave me $300 more than I needed. I wonder what the extra $300 is for. Well, it turns out they weren't going to place me back in San Jose. They were going to place me in Tempe, Arizona. And I found out that to go to Tempe, Arizona and get housing, I'd be best to go before summer was over. In fact, I'd be best to go in June at the beginning of the summer and put some kind of deposit on an apartment. On our way back to San Jose, which was where we lived at the time, we stopped over at Tempe, Arizona. We found an apartment within walking distance of Arizona State University, within walking distance of the campus, and they charged $200 as a deposit to hold the apartment. Then as we continued home, we had car trouble, and it cost $100 for the auto repair. There was the extra $300 on top of the $600 that I knew I needed. Conscience and the Holy Spirit, the inner witness and the call, verified by counsel, verified by circumstances. And of course, this did not contradict scripture, because there's no scripture where God's going to tell you not to go and join a missionary organization to reach college students. Well, I hope this is helpful. Just a few principles on discerning God's will for your life.
Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.